Absolutely did, yes.
We're live. Yeah, we did. We just say it. All right, Alexander, we should be live. If you guys can see us and hear us, let us know. Mm-hmm. Should be seeing me and Alexander here on this Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. Alexander, how are you doing?
I'm doing extremely well, watching the news rolling in from the United States. It's a huge topic, what we're going to discuss now and here in the UK also, by the way. And, of course, everybody's asking about what Prince Andrew is going to be thinking.
We're going to get to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get to that. There's a lot of news that we'll cover in videos coming up, guys. We're going to cover the Russian vote, the Constitution vote. We'll cover that. Mm-hmm. We'll do one on Kosovo.
Yeah.
We'll do one on the jobs reports as well that came out today, perhaps, Alexander.
So. Absolutely. I mean, which, by the way, I would quickly say we've got it right. I mean, you know, we've been saying that this.
You called it.
Absolutely, we called it. I mean, we called it last time, last month, and everybody was, you know, said it. And then they said it was going to be a one-off, and of course, we said it wouldn't be, and lo and behold, it wasn't.
All right. Okay. So. Thank you for joining us, everybody, wherever you are in the world. Greetings to everyone. Yasu Apo Athena, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Hello to everyone wherever you are. Albuquerque, United States, Ohio, UK, Australia, Europe, Spartan Warrior Queen, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Thank you for your moderation, for coming on and joining us. Thank you to everybody, guys. Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking some time on your Thursday evening so we can discuss really big news. Alexander, you sent me the message this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And you said they got her. They got Ghislaine.
Yeah.
And my first question to you, Alexander, is now that they got Ghislaine, will they be able to catch Epstein too now?
who knows well, you know, maybe
he's will we watching... find Epstein
yeah well yeah maybe he's watching all of this somewhere, you know, with great interest and curiosity. I think the whole point about getting Ghislaine, I by the way, I'm told it's a soft G and you don't pronounce the S. Others tell me it's a hard G and you do pronounce the S. Maybe we'll find out now, but regardless, one of the points about the importance of getting her is that hopefully we'll start getting answers to some questions. And who knows, maybe she knows a bit more about, you know, where her friend and former employer, as she supposedly was, where he actually is, whether he's in this world or the next one. And if in this world, where exactly?
All right. So before we get started, a quick shout out to Patriot Legacy, the Patriot Beacon 3. They have a contest going on right now. 20% when you put Duran 20 at checkout, Patriot Legacy. You'll find the link in the description box down below. You have the flashlight right there.
Absolutely.
Alexander,
here it is.
Give a quick shout out, the best
searchlight, flashlight, torch in the world. You know, you want to find out the dark secrets and the darkest places, then you need to have your Patriot Beacon with you so that you can probe and find it all out, because which is of course what we do in the Duran. And as I said, an amazing quality product made in the United States, ships all over the world at the moment. It's flashing the alert sign to tell you that, you know, some, you know, great news is happening in the United States, which we're going to be talking about. And just to remind everybody, it's incredibly strongly made. It's incredibly rugged. It's solar powered. It won't ever fade out on you. And it's got every accessory you can possibly want. You can break windscreens with it, cut yourself out of seat belts, find your way through the maze, like the kind of mazes we have to work through here on the Duran with the compass there, recharge your laptop or smartphone or tablet. It's got everything you could possibly need. So best flashlight, torch, searchlight in the world. As I said, when you're looking for the dark secrets, you cannot afford not to have it with you.
We have a lot of dark secrets that we're going to try to untangle today. Also find us on Parler, guys, Parlay or Parler. Find us there. We have opened up a channel there, so follow us there. So far, so good. I like the platform, so join us there. You'll find us if you just do a search for The Duran at parlor.com. And, of course, The Duran Shop. Pick up some great new merchandise. We have a lot of good stuff that is on the shop right now, new stuff, which is really awesome. We've got new merchandise going up every day, PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar as well if you wish to donate. Alexander, we did a video last week on Dershowitz, Ehud Barak, and Epstein, and we basically discussed how Dershowitz, the reasoning why Dershowitz was throwing Ehud Barak, the former Israeli PM, under the bus, and that there was this list of names of people that were involved with Epstein and his crimes. And we called it in that video. We specifically said that looking at what Dershowitz was doing, looking at the fact that Netflix was coming out with this documentary, which kind of meant it was getting ahead of the story. Usually that's the case when the mainstream media or these big companies, these big neoliberal companies, you know, run these stories a couple of weeks in advance, run pieces like this a couple of weeks in advance. It means they're trying to get ahead of a story that's about to break. We called it and we said something big is coming. We said it. I feel it. Something big.
Absolutely.
Here we are. So, Alexander, very quickly, who is Ghislaine Maxwell? Very quickly. Her family, her roots in the UK. We're talking a big, wealthy, well-known family.
A very powerful family in Britain. I mean, absolutely establishment to her fingertips. Her father, Robert Maxwell, was a big tycoon, a big publishing tycoon here. Links with all kinds of intelligence and services from all over the world, from the Soviet Union, Israel, Britain. He was involved in all kinds of secret activities, which to this day we don't completely know the full story. He died in mysterious circumstances when he fell off his yacht or pushed off his yacht or jumped off his yacht, who knows, and drowned in the Bay of Biscay in the 1980s, I think. And there's huge uncertainty and mystery about him. And of course, what happened was when he died, it turned out that his companies, his businesses had largely become bankrupt and that he was involved in a major scandal. There was a major scandal because he plundered the pension funds of his companies to keep his companies afloat. So a strange man and a very interesting daughter, apparently extremely clever, very intelligent, became involved in some way with Jeffrey Epstein. We don't quite know how. We don't quite know how they came together. They were apparently in a relationship for some time, but she is widely presumed and has been widely spoken about as his procuress, the person who found the teenage girls, the underage girls that he so cruelly abused and exploited in his ring. And if you read the indictment, that is exactly what is alleged there. So immensely rich, she's very rich. She was apparently found or caught or arrested or arranged to have herself handed over. We don't quite know which, in an extremely plush and luxurious mansion in New Hampshire. She was previously reported to be in an equally a glittering apartment on the Rue Matignon in Paris. So she's got connections with France, with Britain, with the United States, with Israel, with all sorts of places. Very rich, very well connected, close to the royal family here in Britain and close to Jeffrey Epstein. And not just to Jeffrey Epstein, but to all sorts of other very prominent people in the United States. So we're going to find out an awful lot, no doubt, or so we expect from this story. Very interesting indictment, by the way. We will see what comes.
All right. One thing that bothers me about this, and I've got a lot of questions actually to ask you, Alexander, but one thing that bothers me about what's going on here is the way that she was caught, which kind of mimics the way Epstein was caught. Yeah. They were both, I believe Epstein was also in France, was he not?
That's right, he was. I understand. Okay. He flew over to the United States and he was apparently on his way to his island. But and it was caught in in transit. So the whole thing is most odd. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, in the Netflix documentary, they actually I think it's the fourth part of that series. They actually say that when they raided Epstein's house, the police did find diamonds, multiple passports, and that Epstein definitely had an escape plan set out. Now, Ghislaine was in France She has French citizenship, I believe. No, actually, I'm positive she has French citizenship. Her mother was French.
Yes.
France does not extradite.
No.
Correct? Under any circumstances, it will not extradite.
Absolutely, yes.
My question is, why did she come to the U.S.?
Well, this is the question that everybody's asking. I mean, was she lured here? Was she lured to the United States? Was she given promises? Has there some kind of deal been done whereby she came over to the United States to, sort of hand herself over? The assumption I am making, but of course it's only an assumption, is that she was led to think by people in the U.S. that she was so powerful and so well connected that there was never any possibility that she would be arrested, which has turned out to be a terrible mistake. But we don't really know. And I think lots of people need to know. We need to find out the answer to that question, because it's going to be an important clue as to the whole story of the Epstein affair. I mean, did she think that she would not be arrested because she was so powerful and so well connected? Or was she lured to the US, or was there some deal done?
Something doesn't feel right about this scenario. That's for sure. Alexander, you said you've looked at the indictment. Let me read you a passage from it. I'm pulling this from Zero Hedge. The indictment reads that, quote, Maxwell assisted, facilitated, and contributed to Jeffrey Epstein's abuse of minor girls by, among other things, helping Epstein to recruit, groom, and ultimately abuse victims. The victims were as young as 14, in particular between in or about 1994 and in or about 1997. Yes. Maxwell was in an intimate relationship with Epstein and also was paid by Epstein to manage his various properties. Mm-hmm. Audrey Strauss, the acting United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, outlined charges against Ghislaine Maxwell today, saying, quote, helping Jeffrey Epstein sexually exploit and abuse multiple minor girls. She said that during a press conference today. Alexander, what did you make of the indictment?
Well, very, very interesting indictment, because, of course, he is completely on all fours with the allegations which have been made against Ghislaine Maxwell by people like Virginia Guffrey. It is exactly what you would expect. So she is here identified as the procuress, the person who found the girls, brought them into Epstein's web, and who groomed them, which is exactly what we have been hearing was the case. So obviously, the U.S. authorities, the FBI, the Justice Department, the attorneys who have been examining this case, have been listening to these witnesses, and they believe what they say. But there are other things. There's allegations. There's charges of perjury, for example. Now, this is important because, you, as we all remember, years ago, there was this extraordinary deal done, which was done by Jim Acosta and Epstein, whereby Epstein was basically given a very, very sort of limited sentence, hardly a sentence at all, actually. And this deal supposedly covers Epstein's co-conspirators. Now, it might be that Maxwell will try to rely on that deal to try and get out of trouble, but perjury is not covered by that deal. So that gives the Justice Department some kind of a handle over her. I'm going to also add that there's apparently legal opinions, including a decision from a court in the United States, that particular plea bargaining deal that Epstein did doesn't have any legal force anyway. But somebody who has looked at this indictment clearly believes what the witnesses have been saying about both Jeffrey Epstein and about Ghislaine Maxwell, and they also have been looking for ways to make this watertight in light of this particular plea bargain deal, which, as I said, might be the shield that she's going to try and hide behind. Now, that really begs a lot of questions, and it'd be very interesting to see what defense she comes up with, if she does.
I mean, could she be looking to cut a deal now? Are they going after her, or do they want to go after bigger names? I mean, we mentioned the list from the video we did last week. We know that there's some very powerful names.
Yeah.
One of them that we know without a shadow of a doubt is in the UK, and he's part of the royal family. Yes. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And then, of course, we have former US presidents. Mm-hmm. We have Hollywood elite. We have powerful oligarch business people.
Yeah.
Is the target Ghislaine Maxwell, or may they want to go higher up?
That's the $64,000 question. I'm going to make a guess. I think that they're going to go higher up. I think partly the purpose of arresting her is to try and get her to identify the other people who were in this ring. So that's what I think the purpose of this exercise is. So you remember we were talking about the other day when we were talking about Dershowitz and the case he's bringing against Guffrey, and I made the point that the officials who are investigating this case appear to believe Virginia Guffrey. The indictment seems to support that. It's very close to the allegations she is making. So that suggests that the Justice Department people think she is credible. And we also discussed in that video how Dershowitz, as I said, is putting together lists and is trying to discredit Guffrey by naming various names. And it looks as if it's those names that the authorities in the United States, through this arrest, may become going after. Now, that begs lots of questions. It begs questions about the motivation behind this case, because remember, for a long time, it seemed to have been kicked into the long grass. We now see it bursting into life over the last few weeks, after a long period when we were hearing very little about it. And one has to wonder as to why that has happened. And I would also remind our viewers that we did a recent program in which we said that the dismissal by Attorney General Barr and by President Donald Trump of Jeffrey Berman, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, the person who was in charge of the investigation, but who seemed not to be doing very much, may be connected to the Maxwell Epstein case. And lo and behold, what we now see is action starting to happen at accelerating speed ever since Berman has gone.
Barr knew about this. I mean, this is Barr's making, is it not?
Well, it seems so.
I said Southern District of New York, but isn't Barr ultimately on top of this?
He is. Well, the Southern District in New York is apparently a very difficult district, and it's often at odds with the Justice Department in Washington. But ultimately, Barr is the Attorney General. The Justice Department in Washington is the ultimate authority. The U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeffrey Berman, was apparently making trouble. He's been pushed aside. It looks as if Barr and the Justice Department in Washington are now driving this investigation, and we're suddenly seeing results, and they're happening at an ever faster rate.
All right. One of the victims in the Netflix documentary, she said that Epstein, and I quote, a direct quote, "Epstein is a very small piece in the network," end of quote. There were cameras. She also said there were cameras everywhere in every room, from the bedrooms to the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. He had everything on video. And all the victims said at one point in time or another that Epstein had told them that he has got stuff on everybody and everybody owes him favors.
Well, so I think this is going to be one of the major questions that Ghislaine is going to be asked. Where are those films? Because, by the way, I'm sure that is true. The whole nature of this setup suggests that a lot of this was being filmed. So where are these films? Where are the films of these people doing these things? I mean, it's just about the strongest evidence in some ways you can find. But where are these films? Does Ghislaine know? She's perhaps the one person who would know. Were copies made? Were they distributed? Whom were they sent to? Where are they stored? And of course, if we're also looking at some kind of a blackmail ring, who was behind the blackmail ring? Because of course, the point about Epstein being an almost insignificant person, well, there is something there, because he is such an enigma. He is a man, we don't know where he made, how really he made his money. There's all kinds of theories swirling around. Who is he? What was he doing? Was he involved or working for someone? We just don't know. But Ghislaine probably does know. So maybe she'll tell us.
All right. Prince Andrew, can they go after him, Alexander? Oh, yeah. Realistically speaking.
Oh, yeah. They can. I think they can. I
mean, or is he above the law?
No, I don't think he's above the law. I think if the United States demands that he be extradited to the United States or handed over or questioned, the British will have no choice.
They mentioned his name during the press conference, actually.
They certainly did, and that was very interesting. And in fact, the acting attorney, Ms. Strauss, she made it very clear that they're very keen to speak to Prince Andrew. So he must be extremely... He must be watching these events with great interest.
What does that tell you, though? I mean, the fact that she mentioned his name during the press conference, does that mean that they are going to go after him? Can they go after him?
Yeah, I think they can absolutely go after him. I mean, if he's committed crimes in the United States, we have very strong extradition arrangements with the United States. They absolutely can. I mean, the fact that he's the Queen's son doesn't mean that he's above the law. Not even in Britain. I mean, he's not above the law, not at least in theory. He's obviously very protected. He's very well connected. But if the United States has a compelling case against him, they can actually bring proceedings against him and be very embarrassing. The British authorities would be extremely upset and worried about it. The royal family would be shaken. The monarchy would be shaken. But ultimately, it is the United States that has the power. Let's be very clear about that. Britain wouldn't have any choice. But the point to say is, and this is where I think the whole Prince Andrew's thing becomes important, is that, of course, Andrew's primary accuser is Virginia Guffrey. And as I said, this indictment is on all fours with the things she's been saying. So that implies that the Justice Department believes that her testimony is true. Now, that has implications for all sorts of people, because she's named Prince Andrew. She's named all sorts of other people also. She's named Alan Dershowitz, who we discussed recently. So, she's named other people as well. Now, I'm not jumping to conclusions. I'm not here to say who is innocent and who is guilty. But all I am saying is the facts as they appear at the moment point to the Justice Department of the United States and the attorneys of the Southern District of New York considering her to be a reliable and truthful witness.
Legally speaking, though, what could people like Andrew, Prince Andrew, or Dershowitz be charged with? I mean, what's...
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends a lot on what they've done. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they were involved doing things with children, mm-hmm. In other words, with minors.
With underage, yeah.
With underage, well, then that's very, very serious sexual abuse. I mean, that is extremely serious sexual abuse. And can I just also say something? I mean, you know, I don't say this with any relish, but it's well known, and it's true in every country, that people who go to prison on those kind of convicted of that sort of thing and find themselves in prison, get a very rough time from the prisoners, right. Other prisoners.
Did Dershowitz know about what was coming, you think?
Yes, no doubt he did. I mean, we discussed the other day this very high-risk defense strategy that he's conducting, and it seems to me that he's clearly intended to preempt this. How he knew is a good question, but he clearly did know. At least I believe he knew.
Well, I'm sure he's connected to all kinds of people.
Well, he obviously was.
Throughout the court system.
Yeah, so he obviously was. He definitely is. I mean, he's one of the most well-connected people in America. I'd have thought, by the way, can I just say, that he'd be he's one of the more difficult people to prove a case against. I mean, he knows how to defend himself. No one knows it better. Outstanding lawyer and... a well-connected man, and he'll know how to put the best possible defense together.
Trump knew about this?
Oh,
was going to go down?
Oh yes, oh yes, I'm sure he did. I mean, I don't know that he's been directly. I'm not suggesting that he's running this investigation in any way, but this is a very high profile investigation. I'm pretty sure that he's been kept informed in general ways about what's coming. It's also the sort of thing he asks, he'd be interested in, I would have guessed, and he'd probably ask questions about it, which he's entitled to do, by the way.
Okay. Any other comments as to the news, Alexander, before we get to some super chats of this breaking news?
Well,
any other thoughts, comments? I mean, I already told you how this feels very, I still can't understand. It feels very strange why she came back. It really bothers me. I'm happy she did. Obviously, I'm happy they got her. But it doesn't make any sense.
This doesn't make any sense. And I have to say, I do wonder whether some kind of bargain hasn't been done. And, you know, this is where I come back to the fact that it may be that they're after the more important people, and that this may have been what was agreed, that she'd come to the United States, let herself be arrested here, and give the names. And that may explain why she's come. Now, I don't know that's the case. Maybe it isn't. There is another possibility, which is that she's scared. I mean, you know, Epstein died, if he did die, in rather mysterious circumstances. She may be needing protection, and she may feel that the only people who can protect her is the US government.
Yeah, just supposedly she was changing homes every month. So
that's
some of the news that we get.
Exactly.
Just that you see people like Roman Polanski, who got off to France and he never came back.
No.
He stayed in France and they were never able to bring him back to the US.
Exactly true. Exactly true.
So, I mean, there you have a scenario of a guy who committed a crime and said, screw it, I'm going to go to France and... I'm not going to come back under any circumstances.
Absolutely, absolutely. But she did. So, you know, I don't know what the reason for her coming back is. But, you know, consider those two possibilities. She may be frightened. She may be generally frightened. And this is her way of getting US government protection. Or she may have done a deal. It's possible. Or she may be so arrogant and delusional that she may think that if she comes to the United States, all her powerful friends will make sure that they're not in, you know, she's not put into any trouble because she's got all the dirt on them. And they would feel that if she was arrested, that she would expose what the truth about them. So it may be that she had that sense of impunity, which some very arrogant criminals sometimes do. I've come across people like that, by the way, so right. I wouldn't completely exclude that possibility.
Narcissistic,
sociopath, exactly, sociopathic personalities.
All right, one final question before I get to the super chats, which is if you see any connection with what's going on right now with the elections in 4 months, is there any political angle that you see here or not?
Of course there is. I think there is absolutely a political angle. I mean, Epstein operated right at the heart of the US political establishment. Some of the names that have been mentioned, you've mentioned former presidents. And to put a name on one, it's not, I think, you know, people like Clinton and whatever. I mean,
26 times.
26 times on a certain aeroplane. So, I mean, you know, absolutely is going to have a massive potential impact on the elections in November. Bear in mind that this is a crime that people immediately understand and can immediately relate to, and which immediately makes them angry. If somebody in Wall Street does some enormously complicated financial piece of malpractice, it might make them immensely rich. It might defraud a lot of people. It might do a lot of harm. But it's not always easy to understand for those who are not part of that world. This is something everybody understands. So it will have an impact.
All right. Excellent. All right, Alexander, we'll be following the story, guys. And God, what a amazing piece of news. What a story.
I mean, it's a good development, can I just say. I mean, at least for the moment, for the moment, it looks like it is.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens from here on out and the reasons behind Maxwell getting caught, if she was really caught or if she was really voluntarily.
Because just to quickly add, the way the Justice Department is spinning this is that she was caught. They seem to be denying that there was a deal. They seem to be the story they're giving is that they were keeping, they were monitoring her movements, and then she came to the United States, went to this mansion in New Hampshire, and to her surprise was arrested there. I mean, that's the official story. Maybe true.
Maybe.
does beg lots of questions if it is true.
Yeah, I mean, if it's true, then she's the ultimate narcissist. I mean, she's living in a dreamland if it's true.
She's living in a dreamland if it's true. I mean, Jonathan Turley, who is a defense attorney in, one of he's already written about this. He says he's bewildered by this, and so would anybody be. I think everything I've heard about Ghislaine is that she's a very clever person. Doesn't seem to be true to me. I'm sure there's more to this story than we yet know. And we've expressed some possibilities.
Yeah, we got to see the timing of all of this too. Everything that's going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, the pandemic and Bill Gates and the election cycle and the riots and all the stuff that is going on right now. We have to try and see if this fits into the moment that we're living in right now. How this fits into the puzzle.
Well, the short answer is it does. And we'll see how it does. But this is this extraordinary year. 2020 is going to be a year that people are going to remember. It's going to be one of those great years in history, which are very difficult to live through, but which books will be written about in the future. And this affair will be an absolutely central part of it. Epstein and the Epstein affair will be a key part of it, because undoubtedly it's part of the larger drama, which involves all the other things. It involves everything. Everything is connected. That I have no doubt at all.
I just want to make one more thing clear, because it bothers me so much. If she had stayed in France, legally speaking, no matter how many charges were brought up against her in the U.S., there would be no way for them to go after her, correct?
No, I mean, the only way they could go after her would be to send the Navy SEALs to kidnap her and bring her out of France. Now, that does happen, by the way. Countries do that. I mean, Israel did it. I mean, Mossad went to Argentina and, they got Nazi war criminals there. So, I mean, it does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but U.S. doesn't usually do those sort of things. The French authorities might not be overly keen if it happened in France. So there might be a political incident. This isn't quite an Eichmann situation. That was the Nazi war criminal, that we all know about in Argentina. But legally speaking, the French do not extradite their own citizens. So legally speaking, if she'd remained in France, she would have been safe.
Yeah. Very odd that she ended up in New Hampshire as well, isn't it?
Well, isn't it? Because, of course, it's not the Southern District of New York, not covered by the Southern District of New York. Smaller federal district, more under the thumb of the Washington Justice Department, which is run by Barr. So that might not be chance.
Yeah. Can you explain very quickly? I keep on asking you questions before I get to Super Chat. Very quickly, once again, provide some context to the move Barr made with Berman.
Yes, I mean, you see, we don't
just
yet
add a little bit more context, because I think there's something there as well.
Well, I've no doubt of it. I mean, this Jeff, can I just say something? I mean, to explain to our viewers, the United States, I mean, some of our viewers probably know this already. The United States is divided up in terms of law enforcement at the federal level into federal districts, and some of them correspond with state boundaries, some of them in the bigger states don't. The most prestigious district of all in the Justice Department system is the Southern District of New York. Now, the reason is because it covers Manhattan, and it regulates the people in Wall Street. And remember, Epstein was a Wall Street player. He was a hedge fund manager. So he was part of that world too. And that's interesting in itself, because there's always been this great mystery about how he made his money. Now, the person who runs the federal district on behalf of the Justice Department is the US attorney for that district, the federal prosecutor, if you like, who is in charge of the bureaucracy in the, because the Southern District of New York is pretty big, he has around 200 people, 200 other, you know, assistant attorneys working for him. So it's a big bureaucracy. Now, the thing to understand is that the Justice Department can't just appoint the federal prosecutor, the US attorney. It's a position that has to be approved by the Senate. It's proposed by the president. It has to be approved by the Senate. The Senate has never approved Trump's picks, Trump's choices for the people to be put in charge of the Southern District of New York. The reason is that the two senators for the New York are both Democrats. One of them, of course, is Schumer. And there is a convention that you don't pick a federal prosecutor, a U.S. attorney, without the agreement of the senators for that, who cover that particular district. So what happened instead was you had this acting federal prosecutor, Jeff Berman, who was running the Southern District of New York. He'd never been appointed by the president. He'd never been, his position had never been confirmed by the Senate. He was a purely acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. And he was resisting, in some way, instructions from the Justice Department in Washington, led by Barr. So Barr eventually told him, I want you to go. The man then, Berman, refused to resign, made a big public issue about it. And Barr had to complain to Trump, and Trump, exercising his authority as head of the executive, actually had to sack him. So there was a big power play over the position of the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, which is, as I said, one of the most pivotal positions in the Justice Department system, and which specifically covers Manhattan, and who was the person who was in charge of the Epstein investigation. So we now, we got all of this mysterious power play that happened there. I speculated when it first happened that it looked to me as if it might be connected with the Epstein case. And lo and behold, we've seen events that seem to bear that out.
There it is. Mm-hmm. It opened up the road, I think, to get the Epstein case moving.
Exactly.
All right. And let's do some. Yeah. Excellent analysis. Excellent analysis. Alexander, as always, that's why we call him the Oracle of London. All right, guys. Let's get to some super chats here. Let's see. €5 from Sierra O'Connor. Thank you very much for that. Super chat from Valies. $20 super chat. Thank you very much, Valies. I hope you're doing well. From Fletcher Lentz, $2 super chat. Hashtag free Assange. Yes, we agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
Video on Assange today.
All the scumbags, sorry to use the word, involved in this, to prison. Assange out of prison. I mean, he is a heroic figure. These people who've done these terrible things in the Epstein affair, they deserve to be in prison. So let's always remember him, because he needs all the support that he can get, because he's been cruelly treated in this case, in his case.
Agreed. From Karen Black, Epstein is living in Palestine.
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
I'm not going to try and guess. Maybe he's in a more fiery place. But I mean, I don't know where he is.
Yeah. All right, Miss Miggins, $2 super chat. Anyone know the name of Maxwell's lawyer?
No, we don't know.
Has she announced legal counsel?
We will find out very soon. We've But she's got the money to pay for the best.
I'm sure it'll be a big hitter. Yeah.
It'll be a big hit.
From Christian, $2 super chat, says, cool. Thank you very much, Christian, for that super chat. From Meredith Stone, mm-hmm. She's going to be suicided any day now.
I've heard several people of my personal acquaintance telling me exactly that sort of thing. Yeah. Very interesting, interesting verb, by the way, to be suicided.
You know, we say it in a joking manner, but who knows? The way this year has been turning out, who knows? It wouldn't surprise me at this point.
Wouldn't surprise anybody, I think. If she does turn up dead, then frankly, I mean, this is going to be very, very disturbing.
All right. From Mary Antonia Young, $5 super chat. Foolish of GM to come to U.S. safer if she stayed abroad. Why did she enter the U.S.? Question mark.
Well, huge question. I mean, as I said, we can speculate. We can make guesses. We can make informed guesses. But we can't give a definite answer because we simply don't know. But that answer, when we find it out, will be an important clue to this whole story. If she believed, for example, that she was so well protected because of all the information she had, or the films perhaps whose whereabouts she knows, that she was able to blackmail the US authorities into leaving her alone, that in itself tells us something. Alternatively, if she was lured to the United States, or that tells us something else. And if a deal was done, that tells us, that will also tell us something. So once we have that answer to that question, we will know more, and we will know significantly more.
Yeah, keep in mind, Alexander, that, you know, they've raided his homes in New York. They've gone to the island. Yeah. And to this day, we really don't have much information as to what they got. We know they may have gotten videos. We know they got film. We know they got all kinds of things. But there hasn't been much spoken about what they got from raiding his property.
Yes. I'm going to make a guess, though, that the worst films, the ones that, you know, we were hearing about, the ones that caught everything that was really going on, the really bad things, that they haven't yet found them. Because if they had found them, I'd have thought that we'd have heard something about it.
I agree. I think those are hidden away somewhere. Someone has those. And I say that because he did transfer Epstein transferred $577 million of his fortune 2 days before he, quote unquote, suicided himself. So we know that, I mean, there was plans in the works.
Yes.
As to how this was going to unfold from the Epstein-Maxwell side of things.
Correct.
They took preparations.
Correct. Absolutely. But I doubt that they've been destroyed.
Yeah.
I doubt that those films have been destroyed because they're too valuable as evidence to have been destroyed. And, even as evidence for people like Maxwell, they are valuable to them because they give them leverage.
They may be in some government's hands.
Well, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Very possibly.
Christopher Doby, UK court decision regarding Venezuela. Aren't they meant to judge the validity, not uphold government decisions? Surely this means their impartiality is over, yes?
Yes, I entirely agree. Look, we're going to discuss this because it's an extraordinary decision. And I have to say, a very disturbing one for me. But, let's focus on Epstein in this program. But can I just say quickly, I agree with you. I think this is a very, very bad decision and very bad for the reputation of London as a legal center.
We'll cover it in a video. We'll cover it in the video for sure. Thank you for that super chat. No. Mary Antonia Young, firing of Bergman, attorney for the Southern District of New York, has anything to do with her arrest? We talked about this.
Yeah, we have. I think so. I thought so when I heard about Berman being fired, actually. I mean, it seemed to me that it made logical sense to see these events as connected, given that there seemed to be an uptick of activity involving Epstein and the whole case around Epstein. So that made sense to me, and I'm even more sure of it now.
From George, is it true that Comey's daughter is overseeing the case against Maxwell? What are the potential implications in the U.S. and Israeli politics?
I haven't heard that.
I've heard Comey's daughter was involved, I know, in the Epstein case. I don't know about the Maxwell case.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually interested to find out, actually. Thank you for that.
Extremely interested.
Political implications, Alexander, in the US and Israel?
Well, that depends very, very much on Epstein's role. But I mean, already we're hearing names like Ehud Barak's name being cited, a former Israeli prime minister. It seems that Epstein did have very close connections with Israel. And of course, Ghislaine and her father had very close connections.
Her father was Mossad, wasn't he?
Mossad. I mean, he's widely, universally believed to be Mossad. But again, we don't know the whole story. We can't really speculate. I've seen all kinds of suggestions that Epstein himself was a Mossad agent. I'm skeptical about those views. I think that there was more to him and also perhaps less to him than that. But we don't yet know. So let's wait and see.
Ghislaine being Mossad if her father was
in the intelligence community. I'm going to remind our viewers of something that we discussed in an earlier program, one we made some time ago, which I suggested that the dynamic of this relationship might be different from the one people think. That instead of Epstein being, the dominant one and Ghislaine working for him, it may have been the other way around. That Epstein was the sort of front person, but it was Ghislaine who was pulling the strings, and Ghislaine who was perhaps working for the intelligence agencies. She makes her background makes her seem a more plausible person to fulfill that role than Epstein's does.
Yeah, she may have been his handler.
She may very well have been. But, that's a guess. I'm not saying it's true. But if so, it would not surprise me at all.
No, we make that connection because of her father. So, I mean.
Correct. Exactly. It's not a far jump. It's not a far jump at all. It's absolutely not a far jump.
All right. Mary Antonia Young. Oh, sorry. Blue Diamond Gem. Sorry about that. 199. Ric Flair. Woo. All right. Thank you very much for that super chat. Now, Mary Antonia Young. GM and JE groomed underage girls as honey traps to ensnare the rich and powerful. If GM identifies higher ups, this will be huge. Is she well protected?
Well, we'll see. I mean, if this is a power play, then, if this is part of an ongoing power struggle, which it looks to me quite likely as if it is, then the people that she has surrendered to are going to try and protect her, because from their point of view, she is an important asset now. She's got the information that will enable them to take their agenda further. But will they be able to protect her? Well, that we'll have to see.
From Deuce Zad, 99 cent super chat. Thank you very much for that super chat. From Bazidare, 499. Can you comment on Jordan Peterson surfacing in Serbia for a life-saving therapy he cannot get in the West? I actually saw the video, Alexander, of his daughter interviewing him. It's a fascinating video, fascinating interview. I think that's something we'll probably cover in a before the video segment, because it was interesting to see Jordan Peterson resurface. He was in Russia getting treatment for a long time, actually, for about, I believe, 6 months to a year. And now I hear that he's in Serbia getting treatment. We'll discuss that in another video. It's a fascinating story, but all I can say is, it sounds like the guy's been through hell, and I wish him the best.
Oh, absolutely.
I really do. From Mary Antonia Young, with the house arrests and travel restrictions, does this make catching arms, drugs, human traffickers, etc., easier for the justice authorities to track and capture?
I think if the U.S. authorities want to find a particular person, they have the means to do so. And I think all this activity makes it easier than it was, say, 20, 30 years ago. But there are so many people involved and they can't know everybody. That's the trouble. Now, I think they know Epstein, obviously. Well, they knew Epstein, and they knew Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell has operated very much in full sight, in full view. So when the Justice Department says they had a good idea of where she always was, I've no doubt that that's right.
Yeah. From Vadim Martinov, let's hope there isn't another suicide. and this actually lead to some high profile arrests. Doubt it though. I am a pessimist like Peter these days. Let's hope.
Yeah. Hope.
Arrests, not for arrest. Suicide. Let's hope for arrests.
Absolutely. I mean, can I just say, I mean, you know, we can only hope. And, you know, a few weeks ago, it didn't look as if this investigation was going anywhere at all. And now we see all this activity. So maybe there are grounds for hope.
Absolutely. From Nicholas Peterson, who's become a new member of the Durant community. Welcome, Nicholas, from Le Chat. CIA would kill her in France. She was scared.
Well, yes. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. Not just the CIA, of course, all kinds of people. I mean, you know, let's assume that there is a vast amount of blackmail information. Some people might be very afraid of that blackmail information and might want to silence her to prevent her using it. I mean, that's always a possibility.
Let's make another assumption. Say that certain forces did get to Epstein in his prison cell and took him out. I'm sure that would make someone scared to death to say, if they got to him in prison, then they can get to me anywhere I am in the world,
correct,
including France.
Correct.
If that is the case with what happened to Epstein.
Absolutely. Of course it is. No question about it.
From Hugh Evans, a 10 euro super chat. I imagine no matter what comes out or who goes down, we will never know what this is really all about at its core. And if we did know, we would wish that we hadn't known.
I'm afraid that has to be a real possibility. I hope it doesn't work out like that. But let's not be naive. There may be all kinds of attempts still to put it all under the carpet, to conceal it. And I come back to what I've said many times in many programs about all these investigations that are going on at the moment. If there is a change of government in the United States in November, if Biden wins and Trump loses, then we could very well see all these investigations lose direction and lose a force. It's fairly obvious to me that the initiative, the push for this investigation is coming from the Trump administration. If the Trump administration is not there, we're not going to see anything happen. And that has to be a real possibility now.
Absolutely. Biden in the White House means Clinton in the White House.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Exactly.
Mary Antonia Young. Presser mentioned Comey's daughter is on this case.
Well, there you go.
That's very interesting.
It is very interesting.
It's not good.
Not good.
All right. Nicholas Peterson sent us SEK 200. Thank you very much, Nicholas, for that. And Nicholas Peterson sent us another 200 SEK. Thank you very much, Nicholas, for the super chats. Darren Alevi, do you think that Ghislaine will offer up names of those in the black books for a plea deal? Could this benefit Trump come November?
Yes. I mean, the answer to both questions is definitely yes. I mean, I think it's very difficult to see what defense she has. I mean, you can always come up with defense. It was a very, very poor defense attorney who can't think of something. But given the accumulation of evidence, it's difficult to see what the defense is going to be. And as I said, the indictment has been framed in such a way as to get round any obstacles created by Jeffrey Epstein's plea deal with Acosta, which is legally dubious anyway. So she may be short of other defenses, in which case a plea deal is possible. It may even be likely. It may be even the reason why she has gone to the United States, because she wants the protection of the United States and she wants the protection that would be afforded to her through a plea deal. And if there is such a plea deal and all kinds of important people are named, that will have a huge effect on US politics. And if those people are the sort of people that we think they are, people connected to the Democratic Party's establishment, that is bound to help Donald Trump. I cannot see how he can fail to do so.
We said this in one of the first videos we ever did on Epstein, Alexander. We said this has the potential to bring the entire system down, the corrupt system down. This story has that type of potential. Absolutely. Will they let it get to that level?
Well, that's another question. That's another question. Yeah.
A. Sanchez, $10 super chat. She likely avoided the Second District of New York because of what happened to Epstein in the jail.
Well, yes. I mean, that's quite possible. I mean, I don't know that, but it's quite possible.
From Mary Antonia Young, $15 super chat. GM lunching at an In-N-Out immediately after JE's suicide was coded message that JE was in and now he's out. Does he have a dead man's switch? Wouldn't GM have one too?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, the fact that she was filmed, that she let herself be seen up in public, was actually a remarkable step.
They said a lot of it was doctored, though. I mean,
yeah, a lot of it was doctored. No.
I don't know. I don't know how real. I mean, people in the chat, you guys can let me know. I don't know how real that photo was.
Yeah.
There was a lot of misdirection. That's my point. There's a lot of misdirection going on.
Huge amount of misdirection going on. Oh, that there's no question.
All right. Thank you, Mary, for that super chat. Infoseeker.maduro. DKK300, thank you for all your work. Thank you for that super chat. And from Sandite 26, $30 super chat. Would be surprised if Maxwell gets more than a slap on the wrist. She's been protected this long, and I'm confident that she probably would not have crossed the lines that her father crossed.
Well, we will see. We will see, first of all, what her defense is. But if there's a plea bargain done, by the way, I hate plea bargains. As a general principle, I think they're incredibly bad things. But this is one exception, possibly, if Ghislaine Maxwell names big names, it's almost worth it to get those names and to get those people to see her not perhaps come off entirely free, but with a reduced sentence. I mean, I say that's absolutely not the way I generally feel. But, you know, in this instance, if it's the only way to get to these important people, I would grasp the nettle and I would do it.
All right. Those are all the super chats. Thank you guys for joining us on this live stream with breaking news of Ghislaine Maxwell and the FBI tracking her down in New Hampshire,
of all places.
Of all places.
I mean, talk about hiding in clear view.
Yeah. Fanitas Barley sent us one final super chat, $4.99. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Super chat as well. Any final thoughts, Alexander, before we sign off?
What an extraordinary year we're living through. I mean, every day something new happens. I mean, time is, you know, history is moving so fast this year, and we still got months before the election happens. But we live in very interesting times. I think this is, as you correctly said, Alex, I think this is big. Potentially, it's enormous. It could be the biggest thing of all.
All right, we have one more super chat, but I have one more question that I want to ask you, a comment and a question before I forget. We've never, at least I've never heard from Ghislaine Maxwell. Have you?
No, never. No, I mean,
Has she ever done an interview on British TV or anything?
Not that I've ever seen. I mean, I knew of her, by the way. I knew of her because I knew of her father, and there were, you know, lots of pictures of her with him. But she's always managed to keep very active in society. She knows the royal family. She knows everybody of importance. She's a socialite on a massive scale. But
isn't that strange, Alexander, that from what I understand in the relationship, and the Netflix documentary actually made a point of it, Epstein was the introverted one, it would say, and Ghislaine was the extroverted one. Ghislaine was a socialite. Ghislaine was the one with all the connections. She was the one with the network. She was the one that loved the attention and the spotlight. She loved the parties. Isn't it odd that she's never been on TV or never given interviews she was so in love with being in front of the cameras and going to the events and being with all these powerful people and these Hollywood elites and these political elites? Isn't that a little bit strange?
Well, it's extremely strange, but it's also very, very suggestive. It again points to the kind of some kind of backstory with Ghislaine Maxwell, which, I mean, it's a clue. It's a clue. If you're looking at a person like this, who is an extrovert, who is a socialite, who is involved in all kinds of things, and at the same time, someone who manages to keep out of the media completely, who never appears in gossip columns, who never gives interviews, who's never on television, who's never seen, with models and all that kind of thing. It tells you a great deal about that person. Well, you've mentioned a word. Quite possibly, you're right. But as I said, it's a clue. It's definitely a clue.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple more super chats that just came in. We'll knock them out here. Let's see. From Mark, be careful what you wish for. Trump may be the target. The black book is extensive. Trump is a totem of our hopes, but the ice he skates upon hides sharks.
That's a very, very good point. And of course, we can't be sure. I don't think that's the case. I think all the indications point in the other direction. But we can't be certain. Given the complexities of American politics at the moment, my own personal view is that Trump is not involved in any way with Epstein. He threw him out of Mar-a-Lago when he found that Epstein was going around trying to recruit girls there. So I doubt that Trump himself is vulnerable. But, we've seen how stories can be fabricated out of zero. And, you can have Ghislaine Maxwell coming along, making up something. And some people might use it. That is a possibility. I don't believe it myself. I don't think it's the case. But obviously, we need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, Sanchez, are there any estimates out there on GM's personal wealth?
None. That's another very great mystery. Because, of course, when Robert Maxwell died, there was quite considerable uncertainty about what his actual wealth was. I mean, I saw estimates, ranging from £50 million to £500 million to nothing to more than that. And so, huge uncertainties. But she certainly lived a jet-set lifestyle, and it wasn't all on Epstein's money, despite what people say.
Yeah, from Mary Antonia Young, if Dershowitz wanted to defend GM, wouldn't that be a conflict of interest?
Yes, is the short answer. I don't think he'd do it. I'm sure he wouldn't do it. He's too clever to do that.
Yeah. And finally, Tess Barley, finally, the last super chat. Is this evidence Barr and Trump finally have control of the DOJ and the NSA?
I hope so. I certainly hope so. If so, it's taken a very long time to happen.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's it. Good hour talking about breaking news. Thank you very much to everyone that joined us. Thank you, Spartan Warrior Queen, for moderating.
Great questions, by the way.
Great questions, by the way, to everybody. Great comments, great live stream. We will be covering this story as we have been covering this story in detail. And we have more videos coming out tomorrow. We've got a lot of good topics. The news cycle is crazy these days. Alexander, just off the charts.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good evening, everybody. Take care. We're signing off.